Are you still praying for him? I just got word a couple of days ago, Zelko has established with government approval, first time ever, two Gideon camps in Turkey. So those of you who gave, I don't know if any of you understand what that means. But I'm a place where they kill believers. Something is happening all over the world. Lift your hands up all over the room this morning. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for men of God, bold, laying all personal desires and wants aside. How we revere and honor these men, many like him. Hallelujah. Father, this morning we thank you for your grace and your strength and your protection and provision on every front for Zelko and the word of God that is penetrating Turkey. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah. That's really, really, really good news. So, Galatians was originally an ethnic term for the original settlers of the northern part of the region who had migrated from Gaul. So if you think Sooners, think Galatians. Everybody's lost now. How many know what a Sooner is? Oh, come on. You thought it was a football team. You remember the land giveaway in 18, whatever it was? Oklahoma lands? They were called Sooners. The ones that got, help me, somebody, got there sooner, I guess. They did a wonderful movie about that, the whole deal. So anyway, these were settlers. All right, Galatians. So maybe that'll help you never forget who the Galatians were. Bring it home. All right. Was originally an ethnic term for the original settlers of the northern part of the region who migrated from Gaul. The Romans had extended the original Galatian region southward to become a large province whose capital was, I can't even pronounce it, Ancyra, I think, in the north. Okay, here's the occasion, it says. After Paul left the Galatian churches, troublemakers had come there proclaiming a different version of the gospel. They criticized Paul as a self-appointed apostle who did not truly reflect the message of Jesus. Think about that a minute. Paul criticized for not truly reflecting the message of Jesus. These agitators evidently wanted Christianity to be a sect within current Judaism. How many know what Judaism is? It's the Jewish religion. How many know that our Jesus was Jewish? Of the seed of Abraham. Isn't that amazing? So I'm so thankful for the Old Testament and all the pictures of who he is and for them would be. And yet it was prophesied. It's typical of people even today that the very ones who would bring the Messiah would reject him. But God had a plan through their rejection of the Messiah. The Messiah would be a gift to the whole world. Read Romans 9 and 11. Aren't you glad that God so loved the world? Not just the Jewish people. Oh, how he loves the Jewish people. Not because they're any better or more special than any of you in here, but because he loved a guy by the name of Abraham, who though Abraham was a stinker and a failure and a liar. No, I'm not being inaccurate. That's your Bible. We would know him as the father of our faith. But he also could be called the father of failure, for he was a hairy-legged mess like Peter. But God considered him righteous because Abraham believed in God. That should be a major type and shadow for everybody in here. I don't care where you are at in your walk with God. If you will dare to believe that what Jesus did was enough, and as we move through this, God will lift you from self-destructive behavior more by accident than you ever could do on your own, on purpose, as you embrace the love of God. And we got to move on. We doing all right? I hope so. What's that? Oh, thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank. Okay. They criticized Paul as a self-appointed apostle who did not truly reflect the message of Jesus. These agitators evidently wanted Christianity to be a sect within current Judaism. So they were trying to say, look, we accept this change called Messiah. We've seen enough. We're willing to embrace him. But it's still going to happen through the system. Sounds like a lot of modern-day churches. In fact, it sounds like most of the modern-day churches. Gentiles, they said, had to become Jews, accepting circumcision and living according to Mosaic laws, for example, dietary rules. Therefore, they could be saved and be part of God's people. These false teachers are called Judaizers, based on the verb translated to live like a Jew, found in Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. This is your Bible. Paul understood Christianity as a different religion than the Judaism of the first century. Although it was the fulfillment of the pure Israelite religion of the Old Testament era, he reacted violently against Judaizers by penning this letter. If Paul wrote at the earlier date, he probably composed from Antioch of Syria, his home base, and Galatians is his earliest letter, written between his first and second missionary journeys. If he wrote to churches in northern Galatia, he probably composed from Corinth or Ephesus, and all that's kind of immaterial for our study today. So, without any further ado, as we have not done over the last however many weeks, I want you to open up your Bibles, turn to Galatians chapter 1, and we're going to just read through a couple of chapters. What a novel idea. We're going to read our Bibles in church. So get ready. Here we go. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. I, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. Unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Quick note, for the apostles, and you see it many times, the gospel and grace are used interchangeably as one and the same. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The word there is anathema. It doesn't mean that Paul put a curse. Happy Halloween. He didn't put a curse on anybody. The word is anathema. It means ban, set aside, don't listen to, ignore them. Anathema. As we said before, so say I now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be anathema. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For if I neither received it, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. That's one of the things that my heart cry is that in this process, as we go through this, it'd be something that years ago I would have only handled on a Sunday night. Why do we do that? do milk toast on Sundays and dig meat in the Word when we got three people. We're going to do it on Sunday mornings. I hope it doesn't empty the house, but we're going to preach the truth to the main crowd. Then you can argue about it during the week and we'll straighten it up. And I've got the questions at cvfamilychurch.org ready for anybody that wants to do it. All right, so at any rate, we might want to kick that up on the screen after church so people see it again. Okay, let's move along. He says, "For neither was I taught it. My prayer is, because I know the message of the gospel is better caught than taught." It's a revelation. I can stand up here and preach dumb purple and use every cute little way that I know how to introduce the subject. And if you're set in a rut and convinced that you need to stay there, you will argue with yourself, with me. It amazes me the people that, anyway, I'm not going to do that. Let's just move right on. Let's go right on. Okay, here we go. He says, "But by revelation of." Now, the translation that I was just reading that has some good stuff in it, but I always go back and I check against the original. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. It says, and this has led to a lot of confusion, it says, "By revelation from Jesus Christ." This is a very much entrenched in Catholicism idea that Paul was somehow superhuman, greater than all others. You know, not deity, but almost. Like there's this in-between place, Pope. Aren't you glad we have one high priest? The righteous, Jesus himself. And I don't have to go through a man, ever. I go to the man, always. I live in the throne room of grace by the blood that he shed forever. Somebody shouted amen. Okay, so here we will. So he says, "I was taught by the revelation," not from. You go to the original, it doesn't have from or of or anything. Keep it in context. This right here, Young's literal translation says exactly what this does. From the Greek, it's of. There wasn't a special visitation in which Jesus showed up and said, "Now, Paul, all this stuff here, we're going to wipe this out, and you're going to be the main guy, and you're having a new gospel." This is not a new gospel. He got a revelation of Jesus Christ and the all, because he didn't have these epistles. He wrote most of them. He was going by the revelation of the Holy Ghost from the Old Testament, which brought him the revelation of the gospel. Isn't that something? What a guy. Never did he think more of himself than he ought. I love what he says. "I, Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the least." He truly was the greatest in my eyes. What a man. Greatest missionary ever lived. Anyway, he says, "I got this by revelation of." In other words, just like you and I, with the Holy Spirit, if we've confessed Jesus as our Lord and Savior, born again, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. You say, "Pastor Lee, if you knew the struggles that I had this past week and how far I've been backslid," let me tell you something. The reason you're here and the reason you've got a struggle and the reason there's a war in your soul is because you accepted Jesus and you became new on the inside and you don't know how to deal with the outside and there's a war. That means you're new inside. I want to encourage you, get your eyes off yourself and get your eyes back on the one who got it right for you. And when you trust Him during the week, when you blow it, instead of saying, "Well, I blew it, now I may as well just go back. Don't collect $200. Start all over again." You'll stop right there. Say, "Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ." And you'll learn to stumble up and forward instead of back all the time. I'm so glad for the grace of God that makes it possible for anybody who believes to begin to, even initially with baby steps, to walk in victory. For He's called us to be more. That's not something I'm going to get to be someday. That's a pronouncement over every believer right now. When are we going to let it start? Right now, I'm telling this, and you're sitting there, and the harder I preach, the more you drown in your seat saying, man, if that guy knew though. If I knew? At what point did I become elevated to a position of God in your mind? What difference does it make what I know? The one who makes the difference already knows. And He still stinking loves you. How's that for French? And is waiting on you to catch up so that you can stop beating yourself and punishing yourself long enough. Where's this at in the church? People get afraid of this stuff. You know why? Because it speaks of change. It amazes me. You'd think preaching the good news of Jesus Christ would just, there wouldn't be room in the parking lot. That may happen someday. You hang in there. In the meantime, I'm so thankful for our family. But some of us are afraid of it being any bigger than a family. And we need to do a checkup from the neck up. Because if it's good news, it's good news for all. Not us four and no more. That's why we shouldn't be afraid of a harvest party. Because it ain't about you. It's about others. I did not wake up on the wrong side of the bed. It was perfectly the right side of the bed. And I'm so excited this morning. Because somebody in here is getting hope. In fact, there's two or three in here, I know. I don't know who you are. But you're getting hope for the first time in a long breath. It's like, do I dare? I talked to somebody going through a really rough time right now. They're losing a close relationship, a family member, to cancer. And in their dialogue with them, they begin to share the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ because this person is somewhat restricted by the restraints of religion, and it's so hard for them to reach past into the love of God and receive because there's so much baggage, so much I should have done, I could have done, if I would have done, if I'd have done, regrets born out of fear. And they said, you know, Pastor Lee, when we first started this journey, for a few months I was really fired up. And then I got scared. What if we're wrong? What if this is off? What if I lose my salvation? What if we all lose our salvation? And she said, I pulled back. I got scared and distanced myself for almost 6 months. And she said, the Holy Spirit had to open up the Word to me. And she said, I can tell you that when I begin to step into a new revelation, she said, I'm happier in Jesus and more free and am able, set free to love others that before the minute that I saw them doing something that I deemed unrighteous, I had a literal religious wall. It's fantastic to me that the Lord helped me move from one stage to another. And the impact. I've sat in more than one cow camp when the main order of the evening was somewhere from somewhere. A Jack Daniels bottle was popped out under the table under the fly. And they were waiting for my response. I didn't frown. I didn't get worried. I didn't stop eating. I didn't turn around and tell them, you shouldn't be doing this, you bunch of ungodly. I just laughed and talked, didn't reciprocate the cussing and the ungodly language, just lived it. Now, it kind of got messed up, Mary Lou, and I got a preacher brand on my forehead. That was a little too much. But there was a time, both here and in other places. And a number of those, if you heard me tell, came back. Sometimes it took a couple years. A guy, you don't know who he is, I won't mention his last name, a guy by the name of Mark. You've heard me tell the story. Whorehouse tokens. Down to Shaps. Today is a wonderfully changed, born again man. But it took a while. He said, you and David, he's speaking of our former associate pastor. Boy, I miss that rascal sometimes. He said, you and David, he said, you never judged me. He said, you just loved us. I remember back then, half drunk, would you pray for me? I'm losing my marriage. He did end up losing his marriage. But he couldn't get away from the love of God. But if you yourself can't receive the love of God, how can you express that? Because when we're bound in legalism, it affects everything we do. And we sit in self-righteous judgment as though we are the ones who set the benchmark. I'm so glad that Jesus sent the benchmark so high that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there is none righteous, no, not one, except through the blood of Jesus. And how do you get there? Not by doing, but by believing. I never get tired of this. You know why? Because I know there are people that have been stuck on a healing. They know God heals. They know the Word of God. They know the healing scriptures. They've seen God do amazing things. They've even had it happen in their own bodies. But you get stuck with a legalistic attitude. And when you get free, it throws a door open. And when you were over here just looking at how good Jesus was, this just went boom. Like he did with the man let down through the roof. He needed a healing. God forgave his sins, and healing was the result. Well, now, all sin, according to Hebrews, past, present, and future, done. I'm glad for Jesus today. I didn't say live like you want to and everything's all right. You've heard me say it again. I'm going to say it over again. You'll hear it 1,000 times more. Sin is stupid. Sin brings with it death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is the opposite. And you can be born again and love the Lord, but because of an unrenewed mind or nobody, you can just repeat the same failures over and over again and live a miserable life. But the Bible promised abundant life for those who believe. You will never live 100%. Let me just set the benchmark one more time. I don't care who you are in here. I don't care how much you pray, how much you fast, how much you pray in tongues, how faithful you are to church, how much you give, how much you tithe, how much you love other people, how much you give to benevolent purposes, how much you do all that stuff. You will never live one day, let's just stretch it out for some of you say, day, really, Pastor Lee? Because we're still stuck in some legalistic areas. So let's stretch it to a week. You will never live 1 week for the rest of your life without sin. So get over that idea. Because no matter how much you grow, you've been in the Lord 3 days, you're growing at that level. Your struggle is on a completely different level. You've been in the Lord for 3 years. Your struggle is now relevant to where you're at, how He loves you and draws you. You've been a Christian for 30 years, a Spirit-filled believer who's walked and moved in the gifts of the Spirit. Your area of growth and maturity You now have set it at a completely different level. And the areas that the Lord is drawing you in, you're never going to be 100%. Paul said, I've learned this, that my dependency and my sufficiency is of God. The quicker we can get a hold of that, the less we will worry about our failure and begin to enjoy and move forward in the love that God has for us. The law brings sin out. Why are the churches preaching that grace helps you obey the law when the Bible says that the law ceased when grace came in? And I'm going to show you as we move through this how destructive this kind of an attitude is. For as long as you think you get a little bit more righteous when you do a little bit more better, your confidence is after the flesh, and you are guaranteeing your failure in 3 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, sooner or later. Let's just get over it already and know that we will always, this side of heaven, definitely, be daily in need of, here's the key word, undeserved. I want to ask you a question. What makes grace undeserved? You didn't do anything to do it. Not only that, you might have done things that causes you to not deserve it. That's the point. The undeserved love and favor of God. Now, the beauty of this is the more you trust in the love of God, the more confidence you have in your walk with Him. The more confidence you have in your walk with Him, the more you're aware of Him. The more you are welcoming Him because you're not ducking and shucking. And the more you're doing that, the more you're aware of Leaford. That's my nickname. Leaford. You please the Father after Jesus, but that right there, why would you allow that in your life? Wow, Lord, you're right. That's got to go. That's what Ephesians and Colossians calls removing and replacing because of His great love for us. It's what you call renewing of the mind. My heart got taken care of. He started the work in me on the inside. Now I have the beauty of living who I am on the outside. How many love Jesus this morning? Okay? Wow. Pretty heavy stuff, huh? Let's keep reading. Book of Galatians, I would encourage you to read it in your own time. Get it a little easier to understand translation. Because I'm reading out of the King James, because a lot of people have King James sitting somewhere. And when they read it, they're like, the reason I don't read the Bible is because I don't understand it. So I read the King James and open it up. And I use it kind of as a central backbone, but it's not perfect either. I still check the King James out. All right? So, and don't worry, it's not. There's so many different translations. They can't all be true. They're all reflections of a truth that's not hard to find anymore. As I said last week, if you got an iPhone or you got an Android, you can go download eSword or MySword app free of charge, and you have access to everything I do. Strong's Concordance, the original, easy stuff. This is not meant to be complicated. Okay? The gospel is not complicated. If it were complicated, then it would only be for the smart or the informed, which in some countries means the wealthy. There's a problem. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, Joel said, in that day, our day, will be saved. It is not complicated. Religion makes it complicated. How many are glad for Jesus? Okay, three of you. Let's keep moving along. So, here we go. He says, for you have heard of my conversion in the time past in Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He's a bad dude. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. In other words, I didn't worry about what men thought, what other men thought. But instead, I went another direction. He says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which are in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith with one which once he destroyed. What a testimony. And they glorified God with me. Chapter 2. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, I took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation. In other words, he had a revelation by the Holy Spirit that he needed to go there. Okay? And communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Now, if you don't know what any of this is and you're relatively new to all this, again, that's why I read the introduction to the book. Those who were trying to bring the old Jewish law back into the church and saying you must submit to Jewish law in order to be a true Christian, they were bringing this back in. You got to be circumcised after Jewish tradition, bringing the law back. You got to do something. This is where it's relevant for you. You got to do something that sets you apart to qualify for the work of God in your life. That's what they were saying. It's just, okay? He says, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, this freedom of grace, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. In other words, he was saying, we didn't put up with that, not even an hour. We were out of there. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whoever they are, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. What he means by that, he accepts us all. He's saying in this context, God's not thinking of one person any more than another. He considers us all on the same basis. Aren't you glad for that? Especially when it comes to the blood. All right? These are those who seem to be somewhat, whosoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, in other words, you don't have to comply to any law. We're going to get to that, not today, but we're going to show where Paul clearly says that the one who lives by the law goes back under the curse of the law. But we have been redeemed, chapter 3, from the curse of the law, Christ having been made a curse for us. What he did was enough. This is your Bible, people. This is not a Mormon Bible. This has been in your Bible all along. This is one of the quickest, almost violent reaction that you will find in the Bible against religion that reduces the work of Christ. I love the book of Galatians. I hope you do too. He says here, and when James, let me back up. They saw the gospel of the uncircumcision, verse 7, was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision was to Peter preaching to the Jews. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. This is all King James 4. God called me to be a missionary to the heathen. That is a term, a general term for those who are not Jews. And he called Peter to preach the Messiah to the Jews. So you don't need to be confused. It's right there, okay? You're saying, where are we going with all this? You'll see in a minute. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars. Now, I want you to pay attention to what he says. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars. The inference alone says, in that camp, they were considered to be big boys. He did not say that God considered them big boys. Now, I'm not saying they aren't, I'm not saying they are, but that right there is used as leverage to drive the next point, which I want you to see. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. We will endorse your ministry as long as you remember the poor. Really? Really? I challenge you, anybody who is born of God, truly born again, and walking in that, one of the first things that you don't have a problem with is giving to those who are in need. Which one of you in here? There's not one. You're here because you love the Lord. You're here because things are stirring things deep within you. But one of the most basic things is, in fact, it's a weakness for some. He loved me so much. I'm so undeserving after the flesh. I know in Jesus I am, but I mean this whole thing. And if I see somebody hurting, I want to just give them everything. But this was their religious, well, we will accept your ministry to the heathen as long as you remember the poor. I hope they'd brushed their teeth when they said that, because I'm sure it was very preacherly. Now, were these good men? Absolutely. I'm trying to get you to see a point, because it's here. Watch. These guys who seemed to be pillars perceived the grace that was given to me. They gave to me Barnabas, the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the Jews, the circumcised. That's what he's referring to. Only they would, that we should remember the poor. The same which I also was forward to do. That's fancy King James for it. It was already in my heart. Could everybody in here say with me, duh? That's already in my heart. It's funny how religion, even when it can accept what it'll still give you that little. And Paul in his humble way said, absolutely, it is already in my heart. Of course. But when Peter was come up to Antioch, now how many remember who Peter is? I love old Peter. Peter was a cowboy. Well, he was a fisherman, but he was a cowboy. Don't you dare touch my Lord. Bam! Whoops, I lost my microphone. Cut a dude's ear off with a sword. Peter, I'll never, these jokers here, man, they may abandon you, but me, Lord, I'll never. Three times amid cursing. But Peter also was the only one of these boys that walked on water. Peter also was the one that said, all right, you know how to fish, tell us what to do. Oh, okay. Other side. Peter's quite a guy. I think most of us men can identify with Peter. We probably can identify with Peter in this too. Peter, the preacher of Pentecost. 3,000 added to the Lord in one day. Is now choking in his own hypocrisy. He himself no longer lives according to Judaism, but he's afraid of what others will think. And now he has aligned himself publicly with those who are saying, you got to be circumcised. And Paul said, you know, and I just left it alone. I just said, you know, we're all under grace, you know, and we just pray for them and just hope it. Peter was come to Antioch, and I withstood him to his face, for he was to be blamed. And he did it in a broom closet to avoid embarrassment so that Peter wouldn't be embarrassed at all. Nope. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was also carried away with their dissimulation, their deception, their delusion. So he's carried away. It's just getting out of hand. And when I saw that they were walking not uprightly according to the truth, look at this, people. Listen, why can't we handle this on a Sunday morning? Why does this start slipping into my little board? Talk to us about how to raise our kids. Listen, if you can get free in Jesus, raising your kids will be a joy instead of just speaking doom. How can I raise kids at this time? And I get the Lord is with you. Come on, if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Lord is with you, and He'll strengthen you. He'll help you not repeat what might have happened to you as a young man or a young lady, and help you change the bent of your home, the direction of your life and of your children. This is what grace does. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. It's too late for me, Pastor Lee. I've already made my mistakes. I'm seeing the results of it. It's never too late for you to have a voice and a prayer and a word of victory speaking over them and over generations to come. For there's power in the Word of God. Give me a few more minutes. When I saw, verse 14, that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, well, it's not very nice. In our political correctness and our hyper-sensitive culture of tolerance, be nice. We've lost track that there's still an anchor that says this far and no more. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Anchored to a rock, how does it go? Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Look at what he says here. If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? He's saying to Peter, why are you being a hypocrite? It amazes me. The denomination that I grew up in, they said the TV is of the devil. You can't own a TV in your home. You know what? I found out years later that some of the top dogs in our denomination, they had TVs in their closets. And you know what their justification for that was for? Well, we've attained such a level of spirituality that we can watch it with sanctified eyes. I'll tell you what you are. You're a hypocrite. Now the Lord loves you, hypocrite, and he hasn't changed in his love for you and what he can do in you, but you're a hypocrite. It is so quiet. I mean, this is like, wow. We're going to have like three people here next week. Stand to your feet, all of you. We dodge around this stuff. You don't hear this stuff anymore. It doesn't generate dollars and numbers. And while we're playing our games, people who are born again and spirit-filled are struggling with addiction and lost relationships and living a life that is just butchered by the enemy and ignorance. As we play our games and build our numbers, if I get to one in here today, and I can get to a little wife who gets hope that maybe it's not all over. Maybe there is a reason to stand and believe. Maybe my marriage has hope. Maybe there's some things that can change. Maybe I can trust you. A little bit of hope. Let me tell you something. So much of depression and so much of what we see today is a lack of hope. That's why it's called the hope of the gospel. If I can get a little bit of hope and feel like I can breathe again, the next step is faith. And all things are possible to him, to her that believes. Woo, I got a Holy Ghost chill right now. We, Paul says, with authority, for he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was a Jew among you. Where do I get that from? Hold your finger, because we're going to come back here in just a minute or two. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Galatians, next book over is Ephesians. Next book over is Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. I like Paul. He was pretty direct. Here's where he's at in Philippians 3. He says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. He's talking about people. Beware of dogs. There's politically correct for you. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. That is strife and division, a separation. Something's not right. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks he has reason to trust in the flesh, I more. And then he says, circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul just said, I was blameless in exterior, not heart, exterior obedience to the law. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Would anybody in church on Sunday morning like to translate the word dung for me? That I may win Christ. So don't give me them raised eyebrows when I say crap in church. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. My own having not. Can everybody in here say not? Say it three times. Say, I'm not a knothead. Okay, so here we go. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. But that which is through the faith, you think I've been messing with you this whole time, haven't you? Here it is again. That which is righteousness, which is through the faith. What is faith? Believing. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, etc., etc. So go back to Galatians. Here he is. He's about to hit it hard. There we go. He says in Galatians 2, we who are Jews by nature, Paul says that with confidence and authority. We just read it in Philippians 3. We are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Verse 16. Knowing, this is one you ought to underline in your Bible and be aware of as we move through. Study this on your own. See it and know it for yourself. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. He's saying the law brought me to the end of myself, so I could step into a new vehicle called the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am crucified. Here's context for you. We quote this all the time out of context. But here's the context. We just read it. Here's the great words that we hear recited all over the world in churches. For I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the law. No, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Next verse, and we're not going to read this chapter. We'll do it next week. Are you having fun yet? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that having begun in the Spirit, which means by faith, you think you're going to complete God's work in you by your deeds? Every day, it has to be by Him. Parting thoughts. And we'll pick this up next week. Everybody say change. The last part of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm not going to turn there because of the lack of time. It's so hard to get through for me, so you pray for me. I want to be concise. I don't want to preach for an hour and 15 minutes like Joseph Prince. I'm trying so hard. And yet you can see how big these themes are. They're so simple. But yet they're so deep. They're so simple that it... That's why we got to pray with me. Because it is better caught than taught. This is the parting shot. The last part of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then it speaks of a glass that we look through darkly. In other words, without getting into a huge elaboration, we can get into this later, we who are in the flesh are learning to not walk according to the flesh. We are no longer just flesh, never were, but we are no longer just flesh, but there's a new man on the inside. The Bible speaks of a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit man was made new. Your body was not. But the middle one, your soul, that is your mind, will, and emotions, as we submit those to the Word of God, our mind is renewed and the outside of us becomes progressively more like the inside. That's why when you sin, it does not mean that everything is over and you're going to hell. For your inner man was made new. That's why there's a battle. And God gave the Holy Spirit and His Word to help you renew your mind to the truth of what is already in you so that your outside begins to be more and more like Him. You will never be Him. Perfection is only achieved in Him and by Him as we trust Him. We doing all right? Okay. So, and then it says, for we are changed in this process. Everybody say changed. We are changed in or unto His likeness from glory to glory. Everybody say change one more time. Change. Do you know that one of the biggest detriments to what I'm preaching right now is change? I don't have time to elaborate this. We'll have to work on it next week. The older we get, the harder it is to accept
change. Amen.
We don't like change. Change is uncomfortable. In my younger knucklehead years, I didn't want any change. I wished I'd have grown up in the 1800s. I hated living now. That's no way to live. I carried a pocket watch. My dad argued with me, you need a computer. We were running Tree of Life Ministries out of our home. I don't want one of them blue-eyed devils in my house. I fought it and fought it and fought it. Joseph Prince, who opened up a whole new chapter in my life. It's comical now when I see people, when I say, hey, you ought to check him out. They come back and say, man, we can't do that. Well, I understand. My dad tried and tried. You got to listen to Joseph Prince. I'm not elevating a man, and I don't agree with everything that he says. But his message of grace unlocked so much in my life. And he stands virtually alone. But he's a funny looking booger. He's from Singapore. Looks like a monkey dressed up like Michael Jackson. That's what I thought. That's rude. He's actually a nice-looking Singaporean. But when I saw him, he looked like a monkey dressed up like like Michael Jackson. And my dad's saying, Lee, you got to hear this guy. He's really good. His accent's a little hard to get through. And I kid you not, I'd come over to the house, want to just sit at Mom and Dad's when they were living out here in Paulden. I'd just want to sit down and enjoy biscuits and cornbread and gravy and whatever else with whatever meat of the choice my mama could cook. I just want to sit and be home. My dad, that rascal, click, click, click. Just, what, you just see this little bit? And I kid you not, about the time that it's finally, okay, Dad, for you and you alone, I'll watch. He happened on a live broadcast while he's trying to find a video of Joseph Prince. And I promise you, as God is my witness, what was he doing? The moonwalk right across the stage. Now, I later found out why. But I was ready to reject something that brought freedom into my life on an outward appearance and my fear of change. Now, there's good change and bad change. But no change at all is never good. I had a boss that said to me one time, he said, if you're green, you grow. If you're ripe, you rot. He was saying, as long as I don't think I know everything, I'm going to grow. But if I think I've arrived, the picture that I gave you last week or the week before, Peter, James, and John, transfiguration. God saying, no longer speaking to you through the law and the prophets. Elijah and Moses faded into oblivion, and there was a voice from this heaven that said, interrupting Peter, this is my beloved son. I'll speak to you through him from now on. This is massive change. Paul, in writing the book of Galatians, is dealing with people who say, we don't want change. The writer of Hebrews is challenging a church in Jerusalem, predominantly Jews, that are saying, look, we got it. We like Jesus. We dig him. But we've got our traditions. We don't want change. We want him, but kind of stay here. We do that in church. Oh, how some of us old timers, boy, I remember the revivals of the 50s. I love, and I've got the books, and I learn, but I don't want nothing from the 50s. I want the God of now, doing what he does now. It's not about me. You know, the human condition is that we all have a little narcissism in us. That is, we tend to see the world from only our point of view. Only the Spirit of God can help you begin to see the world and the world around us, i.e. people, not mountains and streams, through His eyes and through theirs, maybe. That's a major transformation. But fear of change, I don't have time to elaborate. My Lord, people. Are you okay with the time? It's 10 till. I'm going to stop. There's no way I can do this. We'll pick up right here next week. Has the Lord spoken to you this morning? Have you been encouraged in your faith? Are you seeing some things maybe that you haven't seen? If you weren't here last week and the week before, go back and read Galatians 1, which says, if you're preaching any other than the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is another gospel. And this book defines what another gospel is. And it actually says, we will get there. If you have Sarah and Hagar living in the same house, Sarah being the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the new covenant, and Hagar being representative of the Mosaic law. He said, oh, that was just dietary and some of the peripheral. No, it was not. 2 Corinthians 3 clearly says, that which was written in stone, a ministry of condemnation and death, which must needs be done away, so that the new, which is most glorious, much more glorious. He didn't say be done away as in obliterated, no longer exists. For the law of God is eternal and righteous and is forever settled in heaven. But for the believer, The law no longer is my path of relationship. But I live. You'll see in this book, we have become sons and daughters. I'm very glad for Jesus today. I'm very glad you came to church today. I don't care what your failure has been. I don't care if you heard this the last time you were here and you've just made a mess of things. Listen, pick yourself off, brush your knees off, trust the grace of God. You got to do some repenting. Repent. But don't wobble in your sin. Dare to, by faith, receive what He freely gives and watch what God does in you. Stand to your feet before I get to preaching again. We'll be here till 12:30. You doing all right? Did you receive this morning? Do you have hope more than you had before? Well, just wait. More's coming. Invite somebody. Let's fill this house up. Tell him, warn him. He preaches long. But if you sit with me and I'll hold your hand, we can get through it. And I'm working on shortening it up. But I mean, these are big truths. I'm just not a 3 points in a poem kind of guy. I want to see at least one in here break into a whole new level of victory. We got people stuck on the way we used to do it. And we used to, and in church, and it needs to be stuck in religious ruts. Afraid of change. I'm going to talk about the fear of change. I'm going to talk about men who stay in broken careers. Do you know that grace will open up your eyes and help you admit, maybe I'm in the wrong stinking career. Maybe I ought to get with God and find out where I belong. Maybe I ought to go back and re-examine what makes me passionate and excited. Maybe only grace can do that. And get happy again. Happy is he whose trust is in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Fear of change will keep you in a rut. Grace will break you free. Hang around. Bring somebody with you. It's just going to get better. I'm not talking about my preaching. I'm talking about what's been in here all along. But because of religious carouse, we just can't see over the fence. Let's bust the fences down. Let's do what Paul said. I conferred immediately with no man. Those considered to be apostles, I went up to another place. And I got along with Jesus long enough that he began to reveal himself in the Word. I'm preaching again. Lift your hands all over the room. Lord, we thank you today in Jesus' name for this wonderful, beautiful day in you. Father, we thank you that the preaching of your Word, the entrance of your Word brings light. Lord, today I thank you that these are the children of God and they hear your voice. And I confess over them today that the voice of the stranger they will not follow. Father, I thank you that your Word brings light and life. It lifts. Religion binds and controls and restricts. Jesus, you're the one that said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life. And life more abundantly. As we lift our hands all over the room one more time. Jesus, I receive every bit of life you've got for me. Spirit, soul, come on, say it out loud. Spirit, soul, and body. I thank you that your Holy Spirit leads me into truth. Oh, Father, this morning as we stand here in this act of worship, I thank you that hopelessness just gets eradicated. I thank you that instead of my heart being crushed, hopelessness is being crushed. That faith is being lifted. And Father God, I thank you for supernatural change. That we will not fear. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.